talk about later, Basar v'Cholov. Let's learn about the Malachim. The Malachim, he fed the Malachim, Avram fed the Malachim, Basar v'Cholov. V'yela boko rotz Avraham, v'yikach ben bakar, rach v'nar, chemo v'Cholov. And ben bakar, Basar v'Cholov. Okay, so we'll talk about that later on. But let's first learn some halacha from the Sefer Chassidim. We have some interesting things over here. We'll up to halacha Yud. Halacha Yud is a continuation of Shmiras Yanayim, and he goes more into the topic of what exactly is called a chosid. Some very interesting things. Kol devar chassidus linoig bo b'chol yoim devarim sheyitzroi kosha olaf. In regard to all matters of chassidus, which we're loosely translating, things that a person does lefnim mishuras hadin, different elements of halacha which technically are permitted, not all the time, rechilus obviously not, but a person goes lefnim mishuras hadin, and or a person has an obligation to be noig in these things every single day, dvarim sheyitzroi kosh halach, things which his yetzahara makes it hard for him. The Yetzirah is standing over you and telling you, don't do it, go to sleep, do an Avera. The Yetzirah makes life very difficult for a person. Kigoin, Rechilus. Rechilus is to go back. Rechilus is very juicy. What's Rechilus? When you go back to the person, the victim, you know what he said about you? It's a lot of Lashnari is where I tell you something nasty about someone else. Rechilus is where I go to the subject of the Lashon Hara and I tell him, do you know what he said about you? You know what this guy said about you? Watch out. That's called Rechilus. And if there's a Toelus, of course. But more often than not, there is no Toelus. There's absolutely nothing to be gained by going to the subject of the Lashon Hara and telling him what Reuven said about him. That just creates hatred and it creates a vicious cycle of tzoras. So that is called Rechilus. A person should be super duper careful to avoid Rechilus. Notice he doesn't even mention Lashon Hara. He mentions the Yetzirah. He mentions the Yetzirah to tell a person to violate the laws of Rechilus. The Yetzirah, Dvarim, the Yetzirah, Dvarim Betalim. Now, obviously, over here, the gears over here is a little bit rough, and over here he writes an ois beis in the bottom, perush on the left side, hirur ra kmo v'chol yetzer machshavos. So the yetzer hara means a thought of evil, dvarim betalim shelo ledaber sheker. It's hard to translate these words. I told you there's a lot of corruption in the text, but we're just going to assume what it means over here is that the Yetzirah is trying to influence a person to have machshavos ra'os, have evil thoughts, whether it's evil thoughts concerning your michoshed your chaverim for the worst. And shaloi ledaber sheker, and the Yetzirah is telling you, not to list, not what you should do is shelo ledaber sheker. You should not speak falsehood. V'shelo liros banoshim. That we learned yesterday. Not to look at things that are forbidden. Uledaber dvarim. Now here's a new concept, a new idea that you don't really see all that often. Uledaber dvarim chadushim midivrei olam. How do you say in Yiddish? Vus is nice. What is new? What's new? Just waste your time. Schmooze away. Talk dvarim betelim umuvutalim lo shirin lo kayov lo cholin klal klal. Nonsense. There's no gain to go and super duper analyze every mishigas that happens in this world. Not everything is so important. Not everything deserves your effort in discussing nonsense. This is a waste of time. Time is precious. Life is short. Spend the time on accomplishing something good, not on discussing the news. The news, you have to know the news so you can learn the news in 5 minutes. You can learn everything you need to know for the whole day. You have to go spend 5 hours every single second checking websites and million websites, this angle and that angle, and what did Trump say, what did Trump not say, what did this guy say. it's a little bit over the top, no, for a religious person. If you, this is what you do for a living, okay, that's what you do for a living. But if you're, this is not what you do for a living, you have to know everything, every bit of information. All right, if it's a hobby, if it gives you a hana, recreation, if it's recreation, fine, but I think it's a little bit over the top what's going on in this world. What? They don't want Yiddish newspapers.
They don't want Yiddish newspapers.
Why not?
Because of this.
Too much. But what is the alternative? The Ger Rebbe, he wanted it.
New York Post is better.
He instituted, he was very mocked, but you know, I'll tell you, the Hamodia, I know firsthand the Hamodia, you know this, today there are many papers, okay, but year, those are magazines, that's another whole world. But many, many years ago, I remember it was a big sensation when it started. Yated, the Yated Ne'eman in English. It was a big sensation. The whole thing was 3 pages, 4 pages. It was a teeny little nothing. Put out once a week. And it was very good. It became a big, right away, caught on immediately. Everyone loved it. Because what was everyone reading in those days? The New York Times. The New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. Everyone, either every single day, it was before the internet, every single person in Brooklyn and the whole from world, where did you get your news from? The New York Times. The New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. And behind the scenes, when no one's watching, you look at the Daily News and the Post. Right? That behind the scenes, that's what you do also. That was more, much more geschmack, right? It's much more geschmack to read the Daily News. The Daily News. And then what happened? Then came out the Yated. So the Yated was pretty good. The Yated, but it's only once a week. Then over time, the Yated got bigger, bigger. Now it's every Shabbos, every Wednesday, it's a book. It's not much a book. Then, not that long ago, about, I don't know, whatever it is, all of a sudden a new paper appeared on the scene, the Hamodia. These are Israeli papers. And they just gave a license to America to do the same thing. There's really no difference between the Hamodia and the Yated. The Hashkof is so, the difference in Hashkof between these two papers is so small, the average person will never pick up the difference between a Ger in America. And who's the Yated? The Yated is, I forgot all the politics. There's a very small difference. Yeah, another paper, fine. Then, the Ger Rebbe, so, and this became, for a lot of people, their news. I mean, it's not instant news. You're not going to get a play-by-play, but you get a very nice summary of what's going on. I mean, the Yated, there's a Yaakov Kornreich who writes in the Yated, he's second to none.
Right.
And when he summarizes the news, there is no equivalent in the secular world to his articles, his analysis and his summary of the news. Check it out. In the Yated Ne'eman, he lives right over here. He's a member of Yom Yitzhak Avenue J. He used to be the editor-in-chief of the National Council of Viewpoints.
No, that was a long time ago.
A long time ago, right?
Very long time ago.
But this is his profession, and he gobbles up the news. If you go into his house, he has there 10 screens in front of him, and he collects all the news. He basically writes the whole Yated under many names. That's his parnasa. His parnasa is, you know, every Yated comes out, it's this thick. So half is advertisements, more than half is advertisements. And Lifshitz, the editor in chief, he writes his editorial. He writes his Das Torah for the week. And then they have some other contributing articles, and Art School gives them, Art School gets free advertisements by giving every week parts of their books to publish in the series. And then the rest of the paper, about probably most of the paper, is written by Kornreich.
Under other names.
Under many names. Possibly. And there are certain people who have columns. There are people who have columns in the paper. They have the chinuch. There are some things that are very popular. Is that the Yated or Hamodia? I don't remember which one. Everyone will confuse her. Okay. Then came out the Hamodia. Hamodia is basically the same thing. Same thing, just as it's a big, there's a lot of money to be made. So why should you make the money? Let us make the money. It's come out the same thing. And then what happened is the Hamodia, I know as a fact, the editor-in-chief of the Hamodia is a woman, Ruth Lichtenstein. Ruth Lichtenstein is super duper brilliant. There's no one that comes to her brilliance. She wrote the book of the Holocaust. There's a project, what is it called? I forgot what it's called.
Witness.
Project Witness. She wrote the book. She's one of the biggest experts in the world on the Holocaust.
Yeah.
Ruth Lichtenstein. She is a woman that is Unbelievable. She is the editor-in-chief of the Hamodia. When you see this thing that comes out every Wednesday, the Hamodia, and it's good. Believe me, there's really good stuff in there. There's some very popular things in there. The Chinuch Roundtable is super-duper popular. And there are other things. There are other feature articles. It's really, really good. They both, the Atel and Modia, they're really top of the line, especially Kornreich. He's unbelievable, yeah?
Except that I do have a bone to pick with them because they also include articles from the New York Times and the Washington Post. And I don't think...
Okay, all right, fine.
Appropriate for that.
Whatever it is. So then, to make your point, the Gera Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, who's in charge of the Hamodia in America, he told Ruth Lichtenstein, or I want a paper during a daily paper. It's not enough for it to come out a telephone book once a week on Wednesday. I want a daily paper because I know that my Hasidim, they're still reading the New York Times. They're still reading. They have a thirst for the news. They're still reading. They can't wait for Wednesday. They need every day. Every single day there has to be a short version of the Hamodia. So if the rabbi says he got to do it, they did it, and that's why you see all over the city. Yeted didn't do it, only Hamodia. I'll tell you why, and you see all over these little boxes. You know, you can buy the daily news and you get a subscription every single day. Problem is, it is a financial disaster for the Hamodia. Financial disaster. You don't have enough people that have an interest in the daily Hamodia. A few pages, the basic news.
There's nothing in there.
No, they have the daily.
It is
consuming all of the profits. All the profits that they make on the Wednesday paper all go to subsidize the intense loss of the daily Hamodia paper. So they told us. So the Rebbe said, "You don't want to do it? I'll get someone else to do it." I'm not joking.
No.
We're not in it for the money. The Hamodia is in it as an alternative for the Yetzirah, for what the Sefer Chassidim says is Chadoshes. People have a thirst for the news. Now, today it's a much bigger problem because everything is online. So who cares? Everything is online. Even New York Times is going pulling their hair out of their head. They don't know what to do with themselves because no one wants to buy the paper. Everything is online. Everything. They produce everything.
Most likely all these papers have...
go digital.
Not because of the news. I'm reading this
FJ.
Not for the news.
For what's called
the
advertisements?
No, advertisements.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, not for the news, because the news, you have much better sources. The news, the secular sources are much better. Okay, that's for us. But you have to understand something. That's for us. Okay, both sides. That's for us. I'm in your machane. But you know, there's a whole world out there. There's a machane in Muncie. They wouldn't touch the New York Times. They wouldn't touch. They don't have internet. There's a machane in New Square. There's a machane. The other machanes. I'm in your machane. I agree with you. I don't look at the Yatet for the news. I go online. I have my things that I like to look at for the news. But the Ger Rebbe doesn't want this. He has Hasidim. He doesn't want this. He doesn't want the Yetzirah. He wants there to be an outlet, something that they can satisfy their Yetzirah in a kosher way. And that's why they made, that's why. So you see, it's not so poshut. And it's part of what the Sefer Hasidim says, L'David Ram Chadoshes, Medivri Olam, L'leches L'tayel Sha'al HaKol Yesh Yetzir. Wasting your time is the worst sin you can possibly do. And getting involved in all these websites and all these things is a very big Yetzirah. It's a very waste of time. Can you survive in this world? Someone, a woman said to me on Shabbos, she's like a little bit depressed. Like she feels, she does not understand what is Facebook and Twitter. And she really thinks that if you don't know what, if you don't live, and you don't have a Facebook page, and you don't know what a Facebook is, you cannot survive. Very good. So it's not true. If you don't have email today, it's very hard to survive. It is. It's hard to survive without email. But if you don't have Facebook, believe me, you're missing nothing. You're missing zero. Zero zilch. If you don't have Twitter, you're missing zero. I can tell you, and I try to explain this to her, Facebook is not email. Okay, you have to have a telephone number. Right? We'll go back 30 years ago. If you don't have a telephone number, it's hard. Right? It's hard to live without a telephone number. So now you have a cell phone. Okay, if you don't have a cell phone, you have a telephone number at home, you're also okay. It's fine. You're probably even better off. If you don't have email, it's hard. It really is hard today because wherever you go, people, you need email. The average person cannot live without email. Texting is also, it's very hard. If you don't have texting today and you're involved in the daily activities of what people do, you really need to have text. It's not a joke. WhatsApp, okay, you can get away with that WhatsApp. You can get away with it. But Facebook and Twitter, believe me, you're missing nothing. I hope you're not insulted.
Facebook use is down among young people. Apparently, people of my grandchildren's age are using it less. They have other things that they use instead. I don't know what you want me to say. I'm active on there.
Very active. Okay. So therefore, this what is over here. David the Ram Chadash was ahead of his time. The Sefer Chas, he was ahead of his time. He said, "Don't do the Ram Chadashos." Shall call Yates Yesh Yetzer. Now, before we go further, I want to mention one thing about Noshim. So it says over here above Shaliros, but I want to tell you, yes, this thing very interesting is we have the pupil of the eye is called what? How in Hebrew do we call the what is the term the Torah uses for the word pupil? Ishoin, the Ishoin Bas Oyin. Ishoin Basa. What is the shorash of the word Ishoin? It means Ish, a person. So why is the pupil of the eye called an Ishoin? And also there's a Nun. A Nun means miniaturization. When you take a word and you put at the end of the word a Nun Saifis, it usually means to diminish. So why is the pupil of the eye called the Ishoin? The answer is, it's the word Ish plus a Nun Saifis. When I look at you closely, what do I see in your pupil? Your mirror. Every person's pupil is basically a glass mirror. I see myself. And being that it's round, it's a miniaturization. I can see a little person. I can see a little person in the pupil of your eye. Okay, they're even doing, I told you this many times, they're even doing studies today. They take old pictures from 100 years ago. And with technology, they can look at the pupil in a film, in an old picture, and they can see with technology who was on the other side of the room. They can see, they take a picture of Kennedy, they look into Kennedy's eyes when he's looking, and they can see that Jacqueline was standing on the other side of the room, across on the other side. When they can see his kids. They can see the photographer. They can see all of the press standing around when they're taking a picture by looking in someone's eyes. Inside a person's eyes, it's a mirror. There's a reflection on the other side. Ishoin bas oyin, a little person. That's the pshut shel mikra. There's a much deeper interpretation. A much deeper interpretation is the essence of a person, the ish, the whole essence of the person is in the eyes. A person, what are you? So, I'll give you my resume. You wonder who I am, what I am? I have a resume. It says, this is my life. I grew up over here. I went to this elementary school, this high school, this base medrash. I went to this college. I had this job. My whole life, that's who I am. That's not who you are. You know who you are? It's the koyach ri'iyah. What do you look at? The eye, both physically and both in as a metaphor, what do you look at in this world? Are you a Baal Taiva? You look at Noshim? You look at the whole day, you're looking for another pretty woman you're looking for? Is that what your eye? Or do you look to go seek Talmidei Chachamim, Baalei Musar, people to teach you? What are your aspirations? What are you looking forward to in life? What are your goals in life? That's what are you looking. The eye, both physically and as a metaphor, is the person, is the ish. The ish showing, the essence of man is found in his eyes. And that's why it's ish showing. It's Miloshin ish. And it's a scary thing, v'shalo liro es b'noshim, this is who you are. person, this is their pleasure in life, to see another movie, I can't wait until the sequel to this movie comes out, that's a problem. That's definitely a problem. Not that something's wrong. I'm not saying there's something wrong. Everyone needs a little outlet, a little entertainment, a little release every so often. Absolutely. Okay? But Rakefet always says, he's one of the biggest Roshivas today, he always says that he has a Seder, he watches television with his wife. Okay? And he even tells you what the program was and what happened. He's a big man. Rabbi Rakefet, what?
His wife controls the remote.
She has a remote to control him.
That I didn't want to say.
Esther, right? He always Malka. There is not a shear that he has said. He has already probably thousands of shear that he has not mentioned his wife, Malka, right? And there's not a shear that he has not mentioned his children, and there's not a shear that he has not mentioned Art Scroll. Hamavin Yovin, Rav Meir, am I right? Am I right? Is there a shear that he did not mention Art Scroll? Did you ever hear a shear that he didn't? Yeah?
Yeah?
It didn't come out of his mouth the word Art Scroll? Yeah? Pay attention. He does, that's right, he does. He does.
He does.
He's friendly with him.
He doesn't go to Art School.
Oh, that's the least of what he says about Art School. He's friendly with Adin. He's very friendly. He always has Yiras HaLeimus for Rav Steinsaltz. Already came out. After it came out.
Yeah.
Okay. In any event, the person is what you look at. That defines who you are. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we gotta quiet now. Now we come to a new topic. A new topic. A lot of footnotes on this topic. Okay, this is a halachic topic. V'lo, we're trying to learn halacha. Okay, the beginning of Sefer Chassidim is more agad until you get to halacha. V'chein lo yeshava klal. He writes over here a new word. Every few words in Sefer Chassidim is a whole new world. He writes a person lo yeshava klal. Never, ever, ever, ever. Now, is that really true? So to make a long story short, on the bottom here, there's a very long discussion in the Paiskim. If a person is in Bezdin, and a situation comes up that according to the halacha, you have to swear. According to halacha, make a claim, or I don't even know the details, it's not important, the details. There are certain situations in halacha where a person is required to swear. So the question is, the person knows that he is correct. He knows that it's MS. Should he swear? So there are two approaches. There are two contradictions. The contradiction. We do have two different opinions. We have sources that indicate that swearing is a mitzvah. It's not just a tool you can use to win. I'm in court. I'm in trouble. There's a problem. If I will swear, that will be the deciding point of being able to win the court case. It's a tool that I have. I can use to my advantage. If I want to use the tool, gesunte hate. Use. You don't want to use. You don't want to swear. You don't want to say Hashem's name to hold the Sefer Torah. It's scary. Why is it scary? I'm saying the truth. Whatever it is, there are mystical things about making a shua, holding a Sefer Torah, and saying Hashem's name. So maybe you don't want to swear, but it's not a mitzvah. It's not an obligation to swear. It's just a tool. Not everyone agrees to that principle. This is the topic of discussion, which I do not have the details. I don't know. I'm just telling you just a general concept is that there are opinions amongst the Rishonim that hold that when you have a situation where the Torah says to swear, the Torah is not, it's not a reshus. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. There are times when you have an obligation to swear. At kedei kach, you may even have to make a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech olam, asher kedeshanu b'mitzvos v'sivanu. To whatever the following the nus will be, to lishava, to swear in regard to this testimony. Someone comes to court, they need me to testify, and the validity is not clear, and in order to validate, I have to swear whatever it is a mitzvah to swear. So that would be the case, ein achinami, those poskim advise that when the situation presents itself, you're presented with a rare mitzvah. A mitzvah that is unique. How often does a person have an opportunity? Shiluach hakan. How often do you have the opportunity to walk down the street and to discover, aim, revetzes al bonera? Ki yikore, Pralim Zuman. You don't always have an opportunity to be mekayim a rare mitzvah. The opportunity presents itself, chapit, swear. And then some say no, even though you may be right that it may be a shvua. First of all, that itself is a controversy. Is there such a thing when indeed there is a mitzvah to swear? And even if you'll tell me that there is a mitzvah to swear, you know something, bezman hazeh, we don't do this mitzvah. It's very interesting. We don't do this mitzvah. We don't bring korbanos bezman hazeh. We don't wear tcheles with a vados, with an absolute certainty bezman hazeh. We don't swear bezman hazeh. Oh, but it's a mitzvah. No, it's a mitzvah. So I didn't do the mitzvah. Because the consequences of you fooling yourself, I guess the reason why is because since today we are so weak, and we make mistakes so often, we may think that we are 100% certain that we are saying is absolutely true. But it's inevitable that if everyone's going to start swearing when the situation appears that you should swear, it's going to happen every so often that we're going to make a false shvua, and the consequences are so enormous of making a false shvua. You know what? Better sacrifice this mitzvah l'shem shemayim. Until Mashiach comes, and until we are confident that we know what we're doing, we should sacrifice this mitzvah because of the severe consequences, and don't swear because we're not really so sure we know what we're doing with ourselves. This is a very big debate that is presented here in the footnotes on the bottom of this page. He writes here, 800 years ago, V'chein lo yishava kilal. In one word, he takes sides. He takes sides. By saying the word klal, he's taking sides. Never, ever, ever make a shua bizman hazeh until Mashiach comes. Even if you're going to prove to me that there are situations where it's a mitzvah de'oraisa, it's a tayag mitzvah, you know what? We're not yet holding at this madrega. That's something to
so
take note of.
That you should really pay instead of swearing.
Right. Well, that. Well,
you have the right to defend
right.
yourself.
I just want to present the issues.
You could affirm that.
No, you're talking about in goyim, by the goyim. You know, so you're talking about going to court now. Right? And I'm not even discussing that. I'm talking about in Bezdin. Let's talk about in Bezdin. Affirm is not a shua. I'm talking in Bezdin. I'm not talking about the court.
You don't have to lose. If you affirm, you're not going to lose.
What do you mean affirm?
Affirm that you're telling the truth.
That's not a shua. In Bezdin, there's no such thing in Bezdin as affirming.
Right.
In Bezdin, it's something called swearing.
Right.
You hold the Sefer Torah, and you say, B'Shem Hashem, I swear that what I'm saying is true. There's no such thing as affirming. Affirming is what we do today in court.
In court.
And it's a whole different topic. A separate topic. But there's something called a shua. Today, there are bate dinim all over the country today.
So, if you are minded to permit mitzvah, it's $1 million, and you say, I only own 500,000.
Right.
He's saying you should
you have to
pay
swear.
The money.
So that's right. That is what the Sefer Chassidim is saying. He's saying now, is Moida b'miksa? Then there's another issue. There's another issue which presenting the issues. If you're Moida b'miksas, and is there a mitzvah d'oraisa to swear? Is there, or it's a reshus? And even if you'll tell him that by Moida b'miksas it's a reshus, there are other situations which he presents over here. I'm not familiar with the Gemara's. I think Moida b'miksas is only a reshus. So that type of shul is a tool. It's not a mitzvah d'oraisa. Maybe I'm wrong. But there are definitely other situations where people ask you to come and help them. And the situation is such where, according to the Torah, you really should swear. And Rishonim argue, in this instance, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to swear. By you not swearing, you're denying yourself the opportunity to be mekayim a rare mitzvah. And if you lo nidna Torah la malachei hasharis was not given to angels, if in your mind what I'm saying is correct, it is true, why not? Why not? I know what I'm saying is true. A Torah was given to human beings, and it's a mitzvah d'oraisa in certain types of situations, so why not? That's a very powerful argument.
But
that's to testify. That's a different passage. That passage is where someone asks you to testify,
right,
and you say, I do not want, and you swear falsely that you do not know testimony. That's a different passage. But let's talk about, let's make believe theoretically there is such a situation where there is a mitzvah d'oraisa to swear. So swear! Don't tell me all of these spooky stories of people who swore and all these terrible things happened to them. Don't bring me a riot from a mice. The Torah was given to human beings. You have a right to live with the Torah. There's a mitzvah. Take advantage.
The Torah gives you that option.
Exactly.
You're not inventing it. The Torah is
no, but I'm saying more than that. I'm saying that it's a mitzvah.
Yeah.
If it's a rishus, it's a tool the Torah gave you, or something to use to your advantage, then you can argue, you know, taking a Sefer Torah in your hands and swearing is not a good idea. And even though maybe this time you're right, what's going to be next time? What's going to be with the people in the audience? They're watching you do this. It's going to create in society a lightness. Oh, you can just swear. It's a slippery slope. I could understand the argument when the swearing you're doing is not a mitzvah. It's a tool that the Torah gave you to use to your advantage. But if you're going to construct a situation where, according to the Torah, there is a mitzvah de'oraisa to make a shavua, and you'll even make a bracha with a l'shem yichud when you make that shavua,
yeah, that the Rambam says here.
The Rambam Kamat says this, then adarabah, swear. Yet, there are those who are chilek very strongly with the Rambam. Even when it's a mitzvah de'oraisa, don't do it. Yibum. Is yibum mitzvah de'oraisa?
Yes.
Absolutely. It's better l'chor than doing chalitza. Ashkenazim, have they done the yibum in the last 1,000 years? Ashkenazim. Unheard of. They don't do it. There's a ban. What do you mean? Why not do it? It's a mitzvah de'oraisa. You don't do it. We're not today on a level to marry your sister-in-law. A sister-in-law be'etzem is kores. It's kores. Now that the brothers are without children, so you can go marry the sister-in-law. Okay, if you're on a madrega, to do what the Torah really wants from you, then do it. It's a mitzvah deraisa. It's a rare mitzvah. But Ashkenazim, the Rabbanon have decided we're going to sacrifice this mitzvah. It's just not for us. Could they do such a thing? The Rabbanim do that? Well, they did it. So maybe when it comes to taking a shavua, where it's a mitzvah deraisa, don't swear. This is controversial. The Sefer Chassidim, in one word, seems to be saying, I'm taking sides against the Rambam. And I'm telling you, klal, whether it's a rishus, whether it's a mitzvah, don't get involved in making a shavua. It's dangerous. It's not for us. It's going to set a precedent. It's going to lead to a lightness in society of taking Hashem's name in vain, making false oaths, and the consequences can be catastrophic. So stay away from this conduct. Let's go further. I know, we explained that. You think you're not swearing falsely.
There was an incident that the father before his death advised his son, never swear. And proud people heard that he's not swearing. Everybody came accusing your father owe me $2,000, $200. No, he didn't swear. I cannot swear. He paid all of his property.
He gave up. I don't know what to say. It's a very big problem. It is a big problem. Let's read a little bit from Vishlola Haske Shem Shram Lavatola. A person should not be Maske Shem Shram Lavatola, Vichokiz Bazem, Shnei Tomid, Vyitzre, Miskabra Lov, Vain Yachalama, Bifneim, Elim Ke. Now, he writes over here that the only way a person can overcome the Yetzirah, he's teaching us the truth is, Elim Ke, Mialdusoi, Hecher Zikbohem. In other words, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. That's the translation from the words of the Sefer Chassidim. If you want to be involved in the good things, you got to be trained when you're young. L'may nafkamina for someone that's older. Well, it may be too late for you, but your children, make sure they get off on the right foot. Chinuch, your children, your grandchildren, make sure they do it the right way. You have influence over them, so for them, get involved. Maybe for you, it's a little bit too hard at this point in time. Lekachi chanech, here is this. Each letter, I always find challenging, is these are pretty short, these little sifkot. Just write one word, one topic. What is the topic of each one of these halachas? The topic of this appears to be a little bit more complex. Chinuch. You put the word chinuch before the beginning of the halacha. Lekach yichanech banav be'elin these matters be'katanu someone or yom. So that, gam, so that. Kishe yazkin lo ya'azvein. When they grow old, they will not abandon the ways of their youth. A child's mind is wet cement. That it's so true. whatever you're trained to do as a child, it sticks with you for your whole life. Everything, those like a day, is interesting. There's a principle. A day is like a year. You know that's true? It's true in the beginning of life and the end of life. In the beginning of life, one day, the impressions that you can make upon a child in one day is equal to the impressions and what would take an adult over many, many years. And the end of life, you see people when they begin to leave the world, when they reach a certain point where they begin to say goodbye, the deterioration. It's like in a very short time, one day, it's equivalent to a lot of time. It's hard to define in words, but I've heard this from people. I've heard this, my father told me.
They go down fast.
It's not that they go down fast. It's more than just going down fast. It's something that's hard to say. My father once told this to me, because my father dealt with a lot of older balabatim that were, you know, the elderly balabatim, and they passed away. And my father knew them for many, many years. And there's a certain growth a person experiences in life. But when it comes down to the end, when they leave the world, the equivalent of growth in the opposite fashion of the deterioration, of the descent, in not just in physical descent, but in hashkafa, accelerates. And in one day, in one time, you have like a whole year. You can go in 1 week, the person has changed equivalent to what you would expect to happen over a year. It's amazing. Time is compressed when you're young, and it's compressed when you're old. Time is only what we call normal. No such thing as normal, but what we, relatively speaking, call normal in the middle of life. In the middle of life, there's compression, normal, and then again there's compression towards the end. There's a parallel. So he's saying over here, this idea that you take advantage when a child is young, he gives an example that people, it's hard for us to relate to this, but in ancient times, people were embarrassed to wear a talis and tefillin. Can you imagine? They're embarrassed. They're embarrassed to wear a talis because people are going to mock them. What are you wearing this funny thing on, the phylacteries on your head? There are many stories on the airplane. People take, they put on tefillin on the airplane. They think the guy is blowing up the plane. Yeah. It happens all the time. Guy takes out, straps, like wires, these wires, and a box. It looks like the guy is saying Allah.
The blood pressure.
He's boom, ready to push the button. The whole plane's going to blow up. And the stewards, they're terrified. They're terrified. And supposedly in the better schools, they train the security, the TSA. Like someone went recently to Eretz Yisrael, and they gave him, what are the film? The officer gave him a hard time. Yeah. What are these things over here? And the guy goes, don't give me this business. You don't know what tefillin are. The TSA didn't train you what tefillin are. I don't believe. He was mamash arguing with him. I don't believe. You're just picking on me. You're just starting up with me. You work here in Kennedy Airport, and people come here all the time, and you coming, you're chapping me what the tefillin. You don't know what the tefillin are. You're starting up with me. Mamash made a scene. You're starting up with me. You know what the tefillin are. You were trained what these things are, and you see these things every single day. So what do you just? You just want to chep at me. So this is written up. The story. Who was right? I don't know. I don't know what the end was.
I had it in Montreal.
What?
I had it coming home from Montreal.
They asked you a Tilnar?
At the TSA, he took the Tilnar out of the bag. Yeah. And he looked at it. He examined it, and he said, "Can I open this?" I said, "Absolutely. Yes, you can. It's a big job, but you could open it." I said, and he looked at me, and he was thinking about it. And I said, "There's only one problem. If you open it, you become a Jew."
She said that?
Yeah, that's what I said to him. And then he looked at my face for a few seconds, then he started to laugh and put it back. And I said, and now, because we were on a tour, I said, you're going to have 15 people behind me with the same thing, so...
Watch out. Yeah. Rapam, I remember one very clear, Rapam, how he said, there was a story in the newspaper, in the New York Times, he mentioned this story about the Chil Hashem. A person took his tefillin, opened it up, and he smuggled diamonds in the baton. And they went through security, and he smuggled diamonds in and out of the country back and forth until the government found out about it. And they sent people there to examine, and they found the diamonds. And it was written up in the New York Times. It was written up all over the world. I remember Pav, how he said, how he was saying, what a chil Hashem, to take a dover shebe kedusha, the holy tefillin, the rochel kol amei haaretz, kishem Hashem, nikro lecho, and to use this, which represents the godless of Klal Yisrael, to use this as a tool to be mechallel the shem Hashem, is just off the charts, such a chil Hashem. I remember that, Friday shiur. That was a Friday shiur in Torah V'das. So, okay, it's amazing. So sometimes, you know, they're chepping with who knows what's going on. Let's finish up very quickly. We really want to finish up over here, this page. Let's see where we're up to over here. So there was a time over here where people were embarrassed to wear talis with tefillin. One, two, three, four. It doesn't say. He doesn't say in the street. Maybe I don't know. It doesn't say where. Hare talis with tefillin. Shahar beits four lines down. Shahar bein atoyvim. There were many good people. Good people. They did not wear tefillin and talis because they were embarrassed. However, if a person accustoms himself when he's young, that when he will be in a to do, then it'll be easy to do these things when he is an adult, even if it is embarrassing. He'll want to stop doing it. Not so fast. Once you're used to doing a mitzvah, you're not going to abandon the mitzvah. Quickly, kosher, tialov kimisa. Like misa, can you imagine that? It's kosher kimisa not to do a mitzvah.
Like wearing a yarmulke.
It's amazing. It's an amazing expression what he says over here. If you train a person as a child to be ruggle in doing a mitzvah, to take away the mitzvah from him, it's like suicide for him. Isn't that amazing? The Sefer Hasidim says this. You would think today people, Achman al-San, they abandon, they throw away Yiddishkeit. How could that be? According to what he's saying is they did not have a strong upbringing. The chinuch was not strong. If the chinuch was really, really strong, then it makes a very big difference later in life. Interesting. You know, it's not for nothing. I know a certain very popular person, the real Litvak, he sent his children to elementary school to a Hasidish yeshiva. Mamash, the real, real Hasidish yeshiva with the kavana to snatch them. He didn't, under no condition, he wanted his children to be Hasidim. He wanted them to be the cult of Litvak. You know, he didn't want them to be a Hasid. But for elementary school, he put them in the Hasidish yeshivas, and his was because he felt that in the Hasidish yeshivas, they do a much better job in instilling in them, in their youth, the love for learning a mitzvah. He felt that in the Litvisha yeshivas, they're much better for his purposes in the older years, in the high school, but for the elementary school, they have more flavor. And he felt it was very important. That's what he did.
So they
the Hasidic yeshivas, they take pride in this. They take pride in instilling in the children a lot of energy, a lot of love, much more so than the Litvisha yeshivas. It's definitely true. So he says this something, Sefer Hasidim is telling us that there's something to this. There is something to this. Can you imagine what he says? If you do a good job on the chinuch when there's a child, to take away that mitzvah from him in his old age is misa. Powerful words, not to be taken lightly. Avol. Right, that's just very true. Right, it's true. There's something about it. Avol kishayachzik ha'adam b'toyev mitzvos v'maisim toyevim koshlo lifresh v'yem b'bnei ha'boishes. You're not going to abandon it. If you do it, you get started, and Adam, the boishes will work to your favor. Look what he's saying over here, very, very powerful thing. Boishes is a tool. If you never did the mitzvah and you want to do it now for the very, very first time, you're not going to do it because you're embarrassed.
Self-conscious.
What are they going to say? That's called boishes. What are they going to say about you? But boishes is the best tool in your advantage. If you did the mitzvah when you're very young, and now you're going to stop, I'm not going to stop because I don't want to be embarrassed. It's a boishes for me to stop doing what I was doing my entire life. So it's an amazing idea that boishes is a tool that you can use in your favor. It's your biggest enemy. It will prevent you from doing something new, making a positive change in your life. But that same emotion of boishes can be your best friend, where it can save you from abandoning your faith. Unbelievable.
What? It
kills them. It mamash kills them. You can't fast. Yom Kippur. It kills them. It kills them. Anything like that, it kills them. People who have to have surgery and they have to be out for 24 hours. They can't wear tefillin. I can't wear tefillin for 24 hours? I'm going to be on surgery, anesthesia? I'm not going to be around? Kills them. Mamash kills them. Because if a person is going to abandon, people are going to say about me that the only reason why I ever did was because I wasn't sincere. I was just going to evdas sabrius. Now that I won, now that I don't need them, I don't have to wear a tefillin anymore. So therefore, you don't want people to say that. So that's going to be a tool to save you from abandoning the mitzvah. Now he goes to a new topic, which we're out of time. We have to do this. This is a whole new beautiful discussion. What is the exact translation of the word chosid? We have probably over here, I'd say, four or five translations with the sources. Hachasida, the bird, right? So we'll leave that for next week. Before we go to the one I've gotten to tell you, it's very interesting that it's brought down in the Sfarim. He also says it over here on the footnotes. A person that is nizhar, it's very interesting, segula. Talk about segulas. A person that is nizhar in Shmira Seinayim, besides all of the other advantages, it says in the Sfarim, merits to do mitzvahs that are very rare. There's a certain category of mitzvahs that most people in their life never get a chance to do. We're talking about positive mitzvahs, good things, like Shluch HaKan, let's say Kisui Adam, Shchita, it's also a mitzvah. To Shchita, Kisui Adam, I don't know, you have to go through the list.
To be a
sandik. What?
To be a
sandik. That's not a mitzvah, that's not really a mitzvah. Be a moyel is a mitzvah, be a moyel. So who's zech to be a moyel? There are certain mitzvahs which are rare. They're not all that common. So how does a person merit to do these mitzvahs, to have an opportunity? Pidyon, you want to go do Petach Hamor. Who did here? Anyone here do Petach Hamor? Anyone I know here do Petach Hamor?
There was in Baltimore.
Petach Hamor. It's a mitzvah deraisa. Petach Hamor, tiftei ever seven most, tiftei ever after. Anyone here do that mitzvah? Did anyone give Truma Semaisrois? Anyone here own land? In Eretz Yisrael, was Mekayim the mitzvah deraisa of giving Truma Semaisrois? Anyone do Shmitas Kesafim? Did anyone do the mitzvah of a Shmitas? You know how to principle? Michael, a principle is not, so you shouldn't have to do Shmitah. Anyone Mekayim the mitzvah deraisa of Shmitas Kesafim? It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. There are many mitzvahs that most people don't get an opportunity to do. You never do it. So if you don't think about it, oh, it's a big deal. But when a person comes here, if you're a maimon, if a person's a real maimon, and you believe in what you're here for, and this will become the Olam HaEmes, it would be a nice thing that a person should have under his belt that he did mitzvahs. He had an opportunity in this world to do with the right, in the right frame of mind, more mitzvahs. Where do you get a zuchus, a merit, that Hashem should give you an opportunity to have siyata deshmaya to do the rear mitzvahs? So open up all the schoolless sarm. I don't know from schoolless. I don't practice schoolless, but there's what to learn from a schooler. There's a limud in a schooler. There's practicing the schooler, which we don't necessarily do. It's not a good thing to do in the schools, but there's a limud, and that is shmira senayim. That's what it says in all the books. A person who is nizhar in shmiras inayim is zoiche. It's a gift in Hashemayim to have opportunities to do rare mitzvahs. Why is that? So what's the connection? I don't know. But there is something to it. These two things go together. Another quick you said from yesterday is bris milah is really the ultimate technique of shmiras inayim. That's this posh. Bris milah. What is a bris milah? A bris milah is what is a bris milah? Shmira sabris. To remove the foreskin, it removes the nerve endings of the erva. It diminishes a person's taivas. It gives a person the ability to a small degree to overcome the yetzer har person. I know they did studies on this, that a person that does not have a bris mila and a person that does have a bris mila, who have the basic same background, which one of them, if his study has a bigger yetzer har, more taiva, more difficulty overcoming his taiva for noshim. And bris mila, we all know, is a very big thing. Baruch haba, Eliyahu Hanavi comes to every bris mila. A person who is a sandik is zoiche to ashirus. So could you imagine, if this is true when it comes to bris milah, think about this, every time you go through the effort, every time you go through the effort of creating a safeguard in Shmira Seinayim, in essence, you're doing bris milah. If you install protection on a computer, a filter on your smartphone, or you tell someone about, now you tell someone about, or your children, your grandchildren, just make sure there's that they have Shmira, you're instrumental. You know what you've just done? You've just done a bris milah. And by doing a bris milah, you have brought Eliyahu HaNavi into your life. You have brought, you were the Sandik. No one told me to put a filter on my smartphone. So, and I did it. I was the Sandik. I was the Sandik from beginning to end. Sandik, the Ikka Sandik is, do everything. You do the whole thing, one shot, everything. A Sandik? What do you get for being a Sandik? Ashirus. What's Ashirus? So all of these things that a person does in all different dimensions of knowing your weaknesses, everyone is different. There are no two people that are on the same boat. Everyone has their nisyonos in these matters. Some don't have such big nisyonos. Some do have. Everyone is different. Everyone has a different nature. When a person knows where his weaknesses are and he, on his private life, he protects himself where his weaknesses are in certain situations. He, be'emes, has just acted as the moyel, as the sandik, as the kvata, as all of the things put together. He has just done a bris milah. And you do a bris milah, Baruch haba, Eliyahu HaNavi is on your right side. He's with you. And with that comes all of the brachos of Ashirus, all the brachos of the shefa of bris milah. Halo davar. Today we have such good opportunities like we never had before. We live in a world today where there are so many opportunities for improvement in this matter.
Some people buy to be sandok.
They buy, they pay money to be sandok. Well, who's the one supposed to go to? Who do you give the money to? Who do you give the money to?
Huh?
Who do you give the money to? Who gets the money?
The parents.